Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very depleted and very understaffed football podcast show 122. Now, I've got to apologise that this is going out so late in the week. We've had a rather busy week at work with the Mirror, and if you see some of the press, you'll understand why. And also, one of us has been ill, and that's poor little Dan Silva, you know, the sweet little Tottenham baby. He's had a bit of a chest infection, so this week's fact is the fact that when Dan Silva fell ill, he was wearing 122. Now, I am joined at the moment, Danny's going to be with us shortly, I'm joined by, and I know this is very exciting, a new podcaster, and introduce yourself.
My name is Connor Self.
Connor Self.
I'm brand new to the show today.
He is indeed, yes, so welcome to Connor, and judging by the claret jumper you were wearing,
yes.
I think we can guess who you support.
Well, it's not Villa, it's not Burnley, I'm sure you can guess by my accent.
The Cockney accent.
It's got to be the one and only West Ham United.
Well,
FC.
We have
a
genuine, authentic Cockney,
yes,
on the show.
Cockney.
Which is where we'll start, because as there's only two of us, it makes sense to talk a bit about West Ham. Oh, and talk of the devil.
Here we go.
Comes the poor little tutu-wearing flower now, Mr. Silva. How are you feeling, Daniel?
Fucking Michael, I've got a great idea, fucking Coxon. Let's not do it in the nice warm pub, Henry, that's just down the road from where we work. No, let's do it in the shitty Wetherspoons. That's a mile and a half down the road in the freezing fucking cold.
We're not in our normal pub, but that's because it's the only way that we can upload the show this week. So I'm thinking of you, listeners. I don't care about Dan's well-being.
I left the office 45 minutes ago.
Well, no, we're just introducing Connor and talking about West Ham, who are, of course, moving to the Olympic Stadium.
Beautiful.
Which is interesting, with you being a Tottenham fan, are you
it's not
glad?
That interesting at all, really.
Are you glad that Tottenham aren't moving there?
Oh, yeah, of course I am.
Yeah.
We're not a West London club. We're nearly as bad as a South London club that are now in North London.
East London, Dan. East London.
What? Oh, no, he's talking about Arsenal.
Oh, right.
Woolwich Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think about it? Are you happy to move?
You know what? It's one of those things. It's either going to make or break the club. Obviously, we've got the history. We've got the fans. Can we fill that stadium every Saturday? I don't know. But, you know, it's just little things like they're just trying to talk about getting rugby involved on the pitch. And we all know with sort of Hull and any sort of Northern club that let rugby...
Yeah.
Egg chasers on their ground. They turf it up.
I quite like they did it really shit, but I quite like the idea of. Did you see Soccer AM last weekend when they went and they said, "Oh, now Max Rush said, oh, now is as everyone knows, there's a very big rugby game this afternoon," and it sort of in his voice sort of faded out and it panned left and there was a geezer who started painting a wall and then was watching it dry.
Oh, okay.
It came back and went. And that was more interesting than that shit.
You might as well have been watching paint dry with that game, but we're not the rugby podcast,
no.
So we won't go too much into it.
I think there's been too much airtime with rugby.
Speaking of Northern clubs who seem to play a rather physical game, I think the team that has really summed up this week is Wigan, which I think we've got to sign. Thoughts on that tackle? I mean...
do you know what? It was... This whole thing has pissed me off, to be honest. The whole thing from the tackle... The no red card, then the no disciplinary action against it, then Dave Whelan saying don't worry about it.
Well, Dave Whelan, when he was a professional footballer, got his career ended by a bad tackle.
It is utter bullshit. I'm sorry, I was talking to my old man about this last night. I realise I actually referenced my old man quite a bit on this show.
I was talking to my old man
last night. Well, all we talk about is football, to be honest. He's an arsehole otherwise.
He makes up half the listener base with my mum, so...
Oh, no, he doesn't listen, he can't stand
it. Oh, no.
Anyway,
we reference your mum quite a lot as well.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
How is she?
I don't know if you haven't mentioned my sister yet.
There we go, there's a new one.
I was talking to my old man about it. And we all play football here.
Yeah.
Some better than others. You haven't seen Cox on a football pitch, it's quite hilarious.
Hey, I'm not a bad little player, I've got a good touch, I've just got no fitness.
No, you're a little player.
I'm a little player.
But I'm a centre midfielder, and one thing I do enjoy is a good tackle. Right, and at no point have I ever put a challenge like that in on another footballer. That is, if the ball is at that height in the air, you either go to boot it and lump it up and away, or you stab a toe at it. You do not come in a downward motion on the ball when it's at that level.
I disagree. I think you can see when it's slowed down. He's actually tried to clear the ball. He's tried to hook the ball down the line.
How can he put the ball down the line if his studs are coming down?
Look, if you put your foot up, what's gravity? What goes up must come down.
What's gravity?
Right, Hydara
we've taken the pub asker a new intellectual level now, haven't we?
A new intellectual level with the Cockney.
He's a young player, naive player. We've seen it before with the likes of, who's the lad that played for Newcastle? Done a horror challenge in a corner, a little while ago.
Knowledge is the bomb.
I don't recall it, yeah.
Yes, anyway, I think he's a young player. Obviously, it wasn't the best tackle I don't think there was intention.
No, I completely, there was no intention. It was just a fucking ridiculous challenge to try to make. Why are you making a challenge like that when the ball is at that height and at that angle? I don't care how old you are. You've been playing football since you were a kid. I have never made a tackle like that ever.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was a left back back in my regular playing days, which were about the same time of Michael Owen's regular playing days. And I sound ridiculous. I'm 25, and I suppose I've retired earlier than him. But I was a nasty little bugger. But I never would put in a challenge. I'd never try and injure.
I don't think he did.
But it's not about trying, it's knowing what could hurt somebody.
Absolutely, it's about knowing how to read a game, how to play a game. That was not a tackle that I would ever make.
For me, it's the lack of apology as well. No one from Wigan has come out and said, okay, it was a bad challenge, he didn't mean anything. They've all come out and said, no, it's fine.
I mean, you could see that. Was it Mike Housley?
Mark Halsey, sorry.
Actually, when they slowed that bit down, because at first you're thinking, and you heard it more than anything. And I was lying in bed watching it with a bit of man flu. And every time I showed the replay, I didn't only just wince, I actually sort of went, but every time I made a little sound. Like, it was, honestly, when you watch it over there, it is horrible. And especially in the real time, you hear it. But I can understand that the referee, you can see his line of sight, as it's just been crossed by another player as he does it. Yeah. So he doesn't quite see the actual, which he didn't see the actual challenge. The fact that there's no retrospective action because one official did see it, and he's now not had any.
Presumably that official spoke to the referee during the game. I think that's what happened. And unfortunately, those are the rules.
Irrelevant. I think it's bollocks. I think unless
someone is endangering a life, the only time I can think of retrospective action being taken after a referee seen it was when Ben Thatcher nearly took Pedro Mendes' head off. But he endangered Pedro Mendes' life.
But didn't see it. One of the officials might have seen it and might have thought.
Yes, but I think the idea is he communicated to Mark Halsey that it wasn't that bad a challenge.
Well, he's wrong.
He is wrong. So unfortunately, that's the human side of football.
Doesn't make any sense. And this is the bigger piss take, right? On bans and fines and stuff. Little Zaha, who scored a great goal last night.
Yeah, 3-0 against Romania.
Great goal last night. Is it the Leeds fans, I think it was?
He's a United legend already.
Right, exactly. But he's given the Leeds fans the finger, right, for after being racially abused for a game, supposedly. Yes. That's what the official statement was, wasn't it? He was racially abused. He gave him the finger.
I think what it was he was getting a lot of stick about his move to United.
I hadn't read racial abuse, but
if there was, then it's terrible. And Leeds fans, as usual, are deplorable. Mentioning John Day in particular, but
he gets a three-grand fine and a one-match suspension for that, and yet I just think that the whole scheme, the whole process is just bonkers.
Yeah.
So that tackle really pissed me off, and the fallout from it, especially Dave Whelan. I understand that that's how his career ended. He's got a bit of previous in it, but I'm sorry, but you've got to stand up, put your hands up, and go, that was an awful tackle.
Yeah. I think as a club, the less they sort of pay mind to it, the less, you know, it's talked about, the less sort of.
So why make a statement?
They've wonderfully swept it under the carpet, it seems.
But he shouldn't have made a. Who comes out and made a statement going, oh, leave the kid alone?
Hydara, who it was on, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that name, has now come out and said what a disgrace it is.
And the fact
that he hasn't been apologised to.
He's probably only just stopped crying, the poor lad.
Well,
like,
luckily,
did you see how much pain he was in?
Luckily, no bone breaks, no ligament damage, so he should be back playing by the end of the season, and we hope he is, because it's a horrific challenge.
But anyway.
But it's a shame.
Going back to last night and the games, did anyone watch the Brazil?
I didn't know, but I heard it was a great goal by Balotelli.
It was an absolute weldy, as my old housemate Matt used to say. It was just a great game. It was. I actually picked up at half time. I didn't even realise it was on. 2-0. Brazilians are 2-0 up. And the Italian, and then it just they came at it. I mean, it was a good finish from a bit of a scrappy corner that came in to make it 2-1. And then Balotelli's picked up the ball about 25 yards inside the opposition half, driven forward about 20-25 yards, and then just bent it in from about. Must have been all of 30 yards at least.
You just think, if he was more dedicated, he could do that every week, couldn't he?
Well, they were saying that he thrives on the international stage. He's one of these sort of players. And his one-touch layoffs, his touch... Yeah, he missed a sitter.
Can I just throw something out there as well? Balotelli.
Does it involve Balotelli? Yeah, does it involve Balotelli?
I've noticed Man City season take a slight... downward turn since he left.
I see what you mean. They've been losing more games, and I don't think he had that much influence
in defence.
But yeah,
I think so much of the season leading up to Balotelli's departure was about Balotelli and what he'd done from week to week.
Well,
as soon as he left, they've lost the character. They've lost an absolute.
And no one else is buying pogo sticks and go karts and getting the media coverage.
I'll tell you, Toys R Us in Manchester is going out of business.
You know what I mean? That's it. All the press is going actually on Man City's football as opposed to what Balotelli's getting.
Well, then City do seem to have been lacking in that killer touch or that little bit of magic.
Mike, we know you're going to say things like that, obviously.
Well, no, I'm talking from as much of a neutral perspective as possible. They could really do with someone who could turn things around.
You need to understand that we're very much a neutral podcast. There's never any bias.
And that's why we're not going to talk about Tottenham this week, are we, Dan?
I had mentioned it. It's taken 11 minutes. I had not mentioned Spurs once.
Well, and
I was going to go the whole podcast.
And I'm sure you don't want us to mention them anymore after last weekend.
We're on the up.
But going back to Man City, I think the referee then, I can't remember who it was against Everton, is very lucky that there was such a shocking decision at Wigan. Because he's got away with quite a few terrible ones in that game. The Morales goal, which should have stood. Yep. Everton could have had a penalty. And of course, City at the end, when Fellaini, on a yellow card already, handball in the box, and only got a free kick and no card.
There has been some horrific officiating recently. Yeah. Some awful decisions that have gone the wrong way.
And in fact, did Tevez have a goal disallowed as well? I remember him with the load of righteous indignation towards the end. It might have been just
It might just be the scar on
his face. Might just be his horrible face.
I think the highlight of that game, though, has to be the introduction of Man City's newest player.
Well, that's a naughty boy of the week, and that is, of course...
I don't think that's naughty boy. I think that's absolute lad of the week.
Well, it was Simon Brodkin, who's better known as Lee Nelson, or the character who's playing was Jason Bent, a professional footballer who claims to be 100% Bent.
No, that's his TV programme. So it's so Lee Nelson, one of Lee Nelson's characters, is this Jason Bent. And his the idea is like a fly-on-the-wall documentary about a day in the life, or the life of a football player, that's called 110% Bent. So it's obviously all focused on this character, Jason Bent.
Yeah.
And I think it's brilliant.
He was actually heard brilliant. Saying, as he got took away by the police, and he's been charged with pitching, he's going to be in court. Saying something along the lines of, oh, come on, at least let me stay on for the first 10 minutes. I've got 50 grand on me for first goal.
It's actually shocking how similar he is to David Bentley, actually. He's very similar.
He's only three letters away, isn't he?
He's only three letters away, and I'm not sure who's more fake, Jason Bent or David Bentley.
I'm not sure who's more of a footballer these days, honest.
I think it was brilliant. I love that the BBC never mentioned that. The BBC today wasn't recording for his newest show. However, I've just seen an advert for... Lee Nelson's
Well Funny People.
And funny enough, Jason Bent is one of them. So we'll have to see. But that was I thought that was brilliant.
So were we getting to Naughty Boys and Naughty Boys? We've
got a bit off piste today.
I don't think there's going to be too much structure because we've had one of those weeks, to be honest.
Can I throw in there then for Naughty Boys and Naughty Girls?
Oh, go on, we like a naughty girl.
The Venkies.
I was about to say, Michael Appleton. Poor Michael Appleton.
Poor Michael.
Left Blackpool, who weren't doing too badly at the time. Not as well as they were under Ollie. But what are they thinking? Sacking someone who they've never even met after, what is it? I think 3 months he's been there. Yeah,
and I think one of the, obviously the stories that came out was that he didn't even get told by the club. He obviously either read up the paper or looked on Twitter or, you know, he's been online and realised that he was no longer employed by Venky.
It's just obscene. It shows the lack of class. I mean, they're on to their fifth manager of the season now, if you include caretakers, because I think Gary Bowyer's taken over till the end of the season. It's just a farce. And the papers are talking about them getting Rafa Benitez in and throwing a load of money at him. Why the fuck would he go there?
I mean, no idea.
I think Rafa's a joke more than the next guy.
Then again, that question was put to him, why would he go to Chelsea?
True.
He's probably got more of a chance at Blackburn.
But I know
what you mean. We talk about poison chalices as football managers, clubs that football managers go to, but you wouldn't. Why would you? You'd have to be desperate for a job to go to Blackburn, wouldn't you?
I mean, they are, unfortunately, for a proud old club, you think back to Jack Walker, who loved that club with all his heart. It's just very sad
There was another.
Love them or loathe them, you never want to see a football club go that way. And I'd say the same about City or Liverpool or even Leeds.
The thing is, with Blackburn, you know, Alan Shearer's hair's been falling out for years over that club. And it's just not fair, you know. It's not.
When
it does things like that to a man, you know.
Yeah, but that's why Alan Shearer's going bald, because of Blackburn Rovers. Not surprised. Football isn't all bad though. We've been dwelling on the negative. Who's heard of Tyrone Mings?
I have, but only because of what I saw on Twitter earlier.
It is utterly fantastic.
Week.
For those who don't know, Tyrone Mings plays for Ipswich,
and he hasn't just got a silly name. He's not been in the news just because he's got a silly name.
And he was tweeted by someone with an equally silly name, Tris Monk.
I think that was his Twitter name.
I've got another silly name.
No, that is his actual name.
Another silly name.
You have got a very silly name.
Well, go.
We'll go on.
I meant your name.
Yeah.
No, well, that's not
Connor
Sell. Silly. Yeah, it's all right.
All about the individual. We'll go on to that in a second. But basically, Mr. Monk, Tris, has tweeted Tyrone Mings. He says he always tweets players for Ipswich games, big Ipswich fan, to wish them luck. And he tweeted him saying something along the lines of, good luck today, wish I could be there, and with the hashtag skin. So Tyrone Mings has tweeted him back asking if he's in the area. And
can he get to the ground?
Can he get to the ground? And he's put 2 tickets at reception for him to go and watch the game.
That's nice, isn't it?
Off his own back. And he said no one should miss the game because they can't afford it. Which, I mean, that's just fantastic. And more players should behave like that. It's a great example. I did read that Mr. Monk works for an insurance company, so I think there probably are people who are a lot worse off than him. But it's still a lovely touch.
The gesture is right.
You've got Gary Monk, haven't you? That's another funny one.
Gary Monk, that's great. Anyone with the surname Monk, especially if they've got a Zidane haircut, I mean, be. But Tyrone Mings as well, unfortunately, didn't actually get off the bench at the weekend in the game.
Oh, well.
But he did his good deed, so
I've got a fair play. Well, I've got a very naughty boy of the week. Although he denies it, and I'd fucking deny it as well if I was him. You see AEK Athens midfielder Georgios Katidis. Do you see this, Connor?
No, I haven't seen it.
He's the favourite for the next Swindon manager, isn't he?
I believe so. He has been banned for life from the Greek national team. He was the Greek under-20 captain, I think it was, under-21 captain, after scoring last weekend, celebrating with a Nazi salute. He took his shirt off and ended a Nazi salute.
Yeah, so that's at least one bookable offence right there.
Yes.
Was it a black and white TV he was watching?
It's
shocking, isn't it? Still today.
His excuse.
Not to go too political, but there's an increasing far right in Greece, but go on.
Thanks, Michael. For an update report later on this evening. He says that he was pointing to an injured friend of his in the crowd. Now, I've never pointed with an entire hand.
No.
I don't know about you. Normally,
if you point with an entire hand, it tends to be with the bottom of the hand turned down, as if you're gesturing something like, look at these lovely apples that I have, and you point your hand down. Not look up at those lovely apples.
I really wish you'd said plums. Yeah. They're a lot better.
Well, we're a highbrow show. We've been talking about Greek politics. So,
you're right.
You know, we're not going to go there.
But yes, what an absolute wanker.
Horrible. Well, he's been banned for the rest of the season by EAK Athens or what.
And has he as well? As well as
and he's never going to play for the Greek national team. So.
I mean, he doesn't. If you see a picture of him, obviously looks can be deceiving. He looks like a wanker.
He does, yeah.
Guilty. That's why I should never be. I think I might have said this before. I should never be in a. I've never been in a court of law. I should never be on the jury.
Yeah.
Because he just looks like. He just looks guilty.
He looks like a shit.
He looks like a proper
so.
Shit. Speaking of.
Proper shit.
No, well, that's a bit harsh, really, I think.
Yeah.
But I think Muppet of the Week.
Muppet of the Week.
Carla Kame, the Wolves goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, see, this is magnificent. So not only did he concede a very comical own goal in a match last weekend, he then put himself out for the season after punching a tactical board at half time, breaking his hand. So
idiots.
It kind of went from bad to worse for the forfeit. I mean, did you see the own goal? It was one that went straight through his legs. It was absolutely comical. He's gone inside, obviously a little bit disappointed with himself, as he would be. I mean, defender kind of stitched him up a little bit with the back pass, but he just could have swung a leg at it or something. And yeah, he's punched the board in frustration and broken his hand. And out for the season.
Brilliant.
Kind of key for a goalkeeper. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, your hands. I mean, well, arguably David De Gea never uses his.
David De Gea would argue
that. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, there's one ultimate naughty boy of the week, and I would say that he's not a naughty boy, but there's been a lot of press about him, and that's Rio Ferdinand. And obviously, England tonight, what are our thoughts on Rio not being there?
Well, this is it then leads on to the question of, should there be such thing as international retirement? Is there such a thing as international? Should there be such a thing? And it's the whole club versus country and your wages and your blah blah blah. I mean, I'm not a professional footballer, so it's very difficult for me to judge. However, I don't think there should be a thing as an international retirement. If you're good enough to play for your country still, fuck me, you should want to play for your country.
Oh, you've only got to look at players like Pirlo, you know, still turn out for
Javier Zanetti.
Zanetti, you know, perfect.
He's like
examples.
74 years old, still got great hair.
Oh.
Wonderful hair.
He's a good looking
chap. He's got the hair of an 18 year old, Javier Zanetti.
Yeah, not bad. Mike, you're going to probably string me up for this. What were we just talking about? I'm not really used
Rio
to
Rio Ferdinand. That.
Ferdinand.
Oh, keep up.
You're not really used to conversation with me.
No, I'm not. Usually when I'm with a pint, I'm looking at girls rather than talking about football.
Welcome to my world. At least we've got another one. Look, there's only one womanizer on this podcast.
I noticed you sat across from each other. You're both looking at girls, so that's fine.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think United is a very different sort of bubble to be in with regards to international football. I think Alex Ferguson has some sort of
Ferguson's always been a fan of
hold
people,
over his players.
Yeah, people preferring club over country. I mean, you look at the fact Ryan Giggs always had an injury when Wales were playing an international friendly against Iceland.
Anyway,
even Paul Scholes retiring from international football at 29, which he denies had anything to do with anything other than the fact he wanted to spend more time with his family, but
bollocks. How often is an international game?
The thing is, United and Liverpool as well, because Jamie Carragher obviously retired very young. I think there's always been a slight resentment from certainly homegrown players because the frequency throughout the 80s and 90s that they got booed when playing for England. I remember England playing, I think, Cameroon. And the Neville brothers, Butch, Scholes, Beckham, Andy Cole, all getting a right earful from the crowd because they played for United. And I wouldn't want to play for my country if I was being booed. And the same goes these days, I suppose, for Chelsea. I'm surprised Ashley Cole and Frank Lampard haven't pulled out at times, but
Ashley Cole never pulls out.
Oh, dear. But, thoughts on tonight, though? Away from all the political shites.
Well,
it's going to be a bit of a non-event, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what, the actual game?
Yeah, how many goals are England going to score? Should we just play with 8 strikers and Stephen Taylor at the back?
Although he's a midfielder, apparently.
Well, according to Capello, he is. And that's not even added up, because that would mean that we have a goalkeeper and then one spare player. I reckon we just start with 10 lads. Yeah, why the fuck not?
Who is it? Was it Gerrard? Someone said they're not going to try and score. They won't even try and score. They'll just try and piss England off by not letting England score.
Well, yeah, but that's what you've got to do. I was reading, in Shortlist magazine yesterday, did an interview with the San Marino captain, and he said that a 2-0 defeat for them is a victory because they are amateurs. They don't play professional football. They work a 9-hour day and then they train for 3 hours at night.
Yeah, then why are they involved? What's the point?
Well, that's the argument. Should there be a preliminary stage to qualify? Because there's so many teams and other confederations do it. I don't understand why UEFA doesn't.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things I don't understand why you don't do, but...
Well,
I'm not even remotely interested.
I think I'm going to I'm going to do a gut busting burger later, and I'll probably feel sick after that. Yeah. So I'll probably.
Well, I've been awake since 3:45 this morning, thanks to my missus. So I will probably fall asleep.
You have to drop her off on her school trip.
My missus is a teacher, not a 12-year-old. At least this one is. She's on a school trip to France.
But you did have to drop her off on the way to her school trip, just to clarify.
I did, yes.
And did you choosingly say au revoir when
she got out of the car? I didn't know
did you pack her
because
lunchbox?
We're engaged and I want her to marry me.
Did you pack her lunchbox?
I've packed her lunchbox
did
many
she
times.
Pack your lunchbox?
I really hope she doesn't listen to this. But
speaking of packing lunchboxes,
go on.
Yes. Oh, now how about this? Have I mentioned? Anara, the girl I went to school with before, who's now...
No.
She's now not only nobbing, shall we say, moving in with Samir Nasri.
Oh,
who
lovely.
Has not been, who was not... A girl I know from Brighton who I've known since I was...
Hi, Anara.
No, she definitely won't be listening. But I hope she's not listening, because I'm...
She just said she's nobbing somebody.
Apparently she doesn't like to be in the limelight.
She's the one with the knob.
Doesn't she?
Doesn't like to be in the limelight.
Well, we hope not.
Is she nobbing or getting nobbed?
Like getting nobbed. Likes tweeting about that she's just moving in with Samir Nasri. And who's going to get the bigger dressing room? She has got a bit of previous. Freddie Ljungberg, Darren Bent, Kieran Richardson, Jermaine Pennant. But she doesn't like being a wag, and she doesn't want to be referred to.
At least she's not racist,
So
she seems like a pretty nice girl.
Pay off Anara, why don't you?
English and French, to be honest.
English and French. And Swedish. So really, it's mainly English, and then Swedish and French.
Yeah, well...
So...
Anyway.
She's mixed up. She's got a type, and that's what follows. But good on you, Anara. Earn that money. Speaking of packing a lunch as well, if you're a Gateshead fan, on Thursday you're going to have to pack yourself a lunch because they are playing a home game that will require a 358-mile round trip.
Bloody hell.
Basically, Gateshead Ground, which they don't actually have their own ground, they share it, some athletic stadium or something, a bit like Brighton used to have. The pitch isn't good enough. So they've been playing home games all around the North East. They've got games scheduled at Hartlepool, York, Carlisle, Middlesbrough and Blyth Spartans. None of those are available on Thursday, so they're having to play at the home ground of Boston United in Lincolnshire, which is great. They're playing Newport County, who now have to travel 100 miles less than they would have playing Gateshead.
Bloody hell.
But it's just it's unbelievable. And Northwich Vicks have had some of this season playing home games at Stafford and Flixton, but it just takes the cake. So my heart goes out.
Speaking of fixtures and taking the piss, right?
Go on.
You know, we always get a bit annoyed about the fixture congestion at the end of the season, the Premier League, you know, oh no, got to play three games in a week. Oh no, that's really bad, like once, right? Guernsey FC, right? And we're not going to go through.
Guernsey FC. From the Channel Islands.
They have got, in April, right? Bear in mind, April, the season starts to wind down a little bit normally.
Yeah, you're halfway to the beach, aren't you?
And I'm not going to, and this is a mixture of, it's all league games.
Looks like they've
a
got
mixture
a few doubleheaders
at home, right? They are playing on April the 1st, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, the 9th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 16th, the 18th, the 20th, the 21st, the 24th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, and the 30th.
I hope they've got a big squad.
I fucking hope they've got a big squad.
It's ridiculous.
Can you imagine? That's one, two, three,
four. It's going to be a few ringers for Guernsey then.
Yeah, well,
17 games in a month.
17 games. Plus they've got three games by the look of it before the end of this month.
Well, at least they won't have to
four
train.
Games.
They won't have to train, will they? They'll just play.
And I like the fact that last game was against South Park.
It was. They've still got to play South Park away on Friday the 5th.
That's a bit of a trip to Denver as well, isn't it?
Colorado. Talking about trips, I don't know if we've covered it in the show, but in the news this week, Edgar Davids' little gesture to the fans. Coach was pulled over on the motorway, I'm not sure.
Yes, I saw this.
And obviously the team bus has driven past it. Edgar Davids has ordered the bus to stop at the local service station, the nearest service station, sorry. Ordered these players
the
off.
Team bus.
And then he's sent the team bus back to the fans' bus, picked them all up, brought them back to the service station, had coffee and muffins and things in a service station, probably a few packets of Monster Munch.
Well, like
Curly Whirly and a Mungo.
We can speculate. Yeah. We can speculate.
A bit of time crisis.
Edgar Davidge probably let people wear his glasses for a bit.
Maybe.
No one touches Edgar Davidge.
I mean, he's Edgar fucking Davidge. He's not let anyone do that.
And then, so we saved them, brought them, ordered a new coach, and then.
Top lad, big shout out to
Edgar Davidge.
Great, a couple more things before we move on to Hart quickly. Remember Bruno, the Flamengo goalkeeper, who was...
I thought you meant the gay geezer.
Well, we can call Bruno what we like now because he can't sue us because he's in jail. He's been convicted of killing his ex-girlfriend. We've spoken about this
before. And he fed her to the dogs.
He's the fella who fed his mistress to the dogs. Bizarrely, though, I heard... the son that he was trying to cover up, who is now 3, is named after him. That has got to fuck you up to be named after your dad who murdered your mum.
That really messed up. But did you see that Cambiasso has named his son?
What?
Lionel.
Lionel, bloody hell.
And actually said
Of course, after his Argentine teammate Lionel Scaloni, formerly of West Ham, surely.
Obviously. But he's actually named him after Messi. He said, I'd have named him after Messi. Why would I not want to name my son after the best player in the world?
That is obscene. Well,
and Messi, did you see Messi get his little leg tattoo? That's pretty cute.
Well, it'd have to be little on his legs, wouldn't it?
Well, very little legs. He's got his little newborn boy's hand print and name on his left calf.
Bless him. As long as it's low down the leg, that's fine. If it was any higher, it'd be a bit weird. Just to go on to a few things that you've been talking about with us online this week. Leon Robbins has been talking about how Liverpool players never go on a run because they're so arrogant they think that they've won a game before the ball is kicked. Always like someone giving a bit of stick to Liverpool.
Leon, why the grief towards Liverpool? I mean, it's possibly fair, but...
Well, I'm sure it is fair. James Bartleby from Under the League has pointed out Woodford United, the worst team in England, we've spoken about before.
Yep.
They lost 10-0 at home to Biggleswade.
I thought you were about to give us some good news.
No, there is no good news. They're still winless. I don't think they've scored since January. And they still haven't returned my email to them. So,
bastards.
You know, they deserve it.
Bastards.
Carl Lawson, our old friend, has pointed out that Newcastle found out which Wigan turned up.
They certainly
which
did.
Which I quite liked.
They certainly did.
And last week we turned out Olaf Melberg.
We were.
Well,
great beard.
Eulalia Amelia, who we've spoken about before.
Eulalia Amelia?
Yep.
She, what a wonderful name.
She teaches Olaf Melberg's kids.
Brilliant.
One of our listeners randomly teaches Olaf Melberg.
Yeah, she lives in Spain. He plays for Villarreal now. And apparently his beard is immense.
Villarreal.
Isn't the V's B's in
Villarreal.
Spain?
Beer.
Beer. What?
Beer. No, that's cerveza.
You never knew this cerveza. Was a bilingual podcast.
Yeah, there we go. It. Connor has proved himself today as a valuable member of the team. And one last thing that I've lost. Oh yeah, Andre Doublesin.
Great name.
He's been giving
another good name.
Well, he regularly gives us stick, and that leads on quite nicely to the Heart because unfortunately we didn't do so well, did we, this week, Dan?
No, we didn't, mate.
You've been poorly, so I've got the update. Heart lost 3-1
at home.
Western Sydney. Now 9th in the A League, only off the bottom by goal difference, although there is game in hand.
But there's actually still an outside chance they could make the
playoffs. There's 2 games left and 4 points off the playoffs. Both away games at Brisbane and Central Coast. And
we know how well that we've been playing away.
Although,
however,
by all accounts, goal Mabratu's goal was one of the highlights of the weekend.
Absolute blinder.
But, and one last naughty boy, Melbourne Heart have identified a supporter who launched an attack on one of the Western Sydney Wanderers fans in the stadium. Apparently, he smacked him in the face, but he has been identified and hopefully he'll be dealt with. So, bit of a naughty boy, but he's a Heart fan, so we can let him off, really.
Got a naughty Heart fan?
A naughty Heart fan. There's not many. Not at least, not outside Canary Wharf.
I didn't realise, actually, Melbourne Heart were actually following me, the official club are following me on Twitter.
Oh, well,
I feel like I've let them down a little bit in the last couple of weeks.
No, but it's fine.
Step my
You've
game
been
up.
Poorly.
Although,
down.
To be fair, yeah, I have been a little bit poorly.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, rabbit out of a hat job if Hart managed to make the playoffs. But, you know,
it'd be fantastic.
It would be, I mean, especially with 2 away wins at the end of the season, but we can't give up hope.
And if not, we were building for next season anyway. So
absolutely.
But that wraps up for the week, so you know the normal drill. Email us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. facebook.com/footballpubcast, complaints to @SimonHead, visit footballpubcast.co.uk, and most importantly, follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast. We will be back next week with a proper show and a proper turnout.
Proper show.
Properly on time.
I think
we've done quite well this week, but we're a bit late. And we brought along a cockney.
I could do with a proper turnout right now, lads. So,
on that lovely note.
Unfortunately, Connor won't be joining us again because he failed the test. But thanks anyway, mate.
Bye bye, Connor.
Ciao.